As I had mentioned before, it is one question that I get a lot as a pastor, and that's the question of how are people in, like, come on the scene, he hadn't been born, lived, died, and resurrected. And that's what we look backwards, maybe we cross, we remember it, we know all that he has done, and we have faith that those things happened. So how does someone who is from the Old Testament time preach? And the answer to that is the same answer that I'd give on how are we saved. We are saved by faith. Our faith, anyone? Anyone? Reg, are you sure? Reg, no. Reg is pointing at Robert. no one Old Testament believer, they looked forward in faith. The event had not yet happened, but they are saved in the exact same way. In fact, more about how the just will live by faith. It talks about how Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. That quote helps us pre-Jesus. We believe, we have faith that it happened, and we have trust in that. Now, we're going to be talking about faith, which is a dangerous of books on this topic alone, and never really exhaust what it means. So as we go through this, as Heather says, examples that the pastor, the writer of Hebrews, goes back through the Old Testament and lays out all of these. He starts off by giving us a good definition, which I'm really thankful for, but then he goes on to give examples of it because I think that's what's helpful for us as well. We're going to take note of a couple. You're also going to see a very definite pattern emerge, and I'm going to tell you what the pattern is so that you'll see it. Faith. So if you say you have faith, but there are no accompanying, the writer of the book of James, the brother of Jesus, would say your faith is dead. Very important, an important distinction. We are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not by the actions that we do, but we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So faith, you are saved by faith outside of works, but your faith will have to say, well, I just believe, but it doesn't matter how I live my life. The writer of the book of Hebrews goes through example by the example of people. The other thing that I think is fascinating is how ways that I found exciting and refreshing. Have you ever been going through a bad part in your life? Maybe you just got fired from with your house so that you could finally get into something larger than the tiny studio apartment you'd been living in. And so now you have a massive on the front part of your car are damaged and you need to get those fixed. And then you also find out that while you're pulling up on the 57 freeway, totally unrelated to anything, it's just an example that now you have no idea what you're going to do. So you go to your friend who is a person of faith and they look at you and they just say, Bob, you just got to have faith. You just like, okay. And you wonder, is there something wrong with me? Because I struggle, I doubt, I have concerns. Called apologetics, Bible defense of your faith. It is evidence that is around us that helps us see that Christianity is not a dumb, unreasonable belief system. And every time I do this, I'm supposed to inevitably some believe. And I challenge the people typically and I say, yes, but God never said have blind faith. Ridiculous and has no evidence to back it up. I would challenge that you are believing blindly. If you believe that putting a scrub from getting acne, I'm going to say you are, that backs it up. I was finally freed for a long time because I'm one who I ask a lot of questions. I feel like I am Thomas. Not hopefully in a bad way, but I want to see some evidence. Show me a little bit of proof. And I remember when I was in college, there was a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict written by a guy named Josh McDowell that radically transformed me because I'd read through this. I'm like, wait a second, I've just been told all my life, well, just believe. Mark, just have faith. Just believe. It doesn't matter what is out there in the world. Just believe. And I'm like, but I have questions. And I struggle with those questions. And I remember when I heard the story of so many people who, especially in college, said, is this thing that I've been raised in called Christianity, is it actually true? And they would go on a hunt. And as they would investigate more and more and more, they would find out that Christianity is a very reasonable and logical faith system. Now, obviously, there are some things that we can't prove. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is hard because we weren't there. But we have the next best thing. We have eyewitness accounts of people who were there. We have written accounts of people who saw Jesus resurrected. So we have something that is reasonable, but at the same time, we still have to have faith. Just as the Old Testament people had to look forward and say, I really hope this Messiah thing is true. I really hope that this guy named Yahweh is true. But even then, God gave evidence throughout that time period, such as a bush that didn't burn up, such as a big old giant pillar that was cloud by day and fire by night. And they'll be like, what's that? Well, that's God. Really? How do you know? I don't know. That thing is pretty darn massive, and I think that that's true. Is God really with us? Well, the Jericho walls came falling down. Well, how do we know that was God? Well, I mean, does any other time you blow a trumpet and something falls over? I mean, it normally doesn't happen. That's God. He said he was going to do it, and it worked. There's evidence that's there so that we don't have to follow God blindly. We have evidence that shows us that God is true and that there are going to be times in your life when you are going to struggle. Maybe it's financially, maybe it's relationally, maybe it's just you're getting older and you're looking back and you're wondering about all the regrets you have in your life and you stop and think, what is true and what is right and what do I have faith in? And you can actually stop and reason and think and come to the correct conclusions. Whenever I struggle with things like, is the Old Testament really true? I turn to Jesus. What did Jesus say about the Old Testament? Gave it a big thumbs up. 10 out of 10, definitely recommend. What do I do when I think that maybe the New Testament writers were just biased and that maybe there wasn't ever a guy named Jesus and it was all just a conspiracy theory? Then I turn to other writers in that time period who wrote about a guy named Jesus, and we can actually reconstruct a lot of what happened in Jesus' life based on extra-biblical accounts. But what do I do every time? I don't sit there and go, you know what? That's a really good question. I think I'm just going to trust. I think I'm just going to have faith. I'm just going to... No, I go back and I reason. Whenever I think, are my finances actually going to be enough? You know what I often do? I just say, well, how have things gone in my life up until now? I have faced much worse, and God has always seen me through. So then I reason and I think and I go, ergo, I trust in this, not blindly, but because there is evidence that backs it up. So hopefully for you, you're going to see that faith is not something that is just an exercise of the will, but it's an exercise of the mind and reason. And it actually uses the word reason showing up here. It's going to be fantastic. And then it's going to tell you that if your life bears no fruit or evidence to faith, you may want to reconsider what your faith is. And that if your faith actually affects Monday through Saturday, then your faith is good. Your faith is active. It does things. All right, so let's go through this. So he starts off with this really cool definition where he says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So we are sure, we have hope and certainty of things that we did not see, correct? Did anyone, like I said, no one here saw Jesus on the cross, except for Robert. Whoever believes you have a brain, have faith in this, right? And we do this all the time, correct? Who here believes you have? You have. You've actually. Well, there are, but that's just, that's fake. That is, that's not your brain. That is a picture of your brain. Next, you're going to tell me that Sasquatch is real. Yes, Joshua's here. He is real. It's been Yeti sightings all the time. Who here believes that love exists? Love. Well, so you've seen love? You've seen evidence of love. How about wind? Anyone here seen any wind? No, you haven't seen wind. You've seen the evidence of wind, but last time I checked, wind is invisible. I look out and go, but when Santa Ana's hit, do we all know that wind exists? Yes, just look at my hair. We know that Santa Ana's exist. Just look at my, I don't know why, we live in a cul-de-sac. The air comes down from the top, and Irene has the same thing, and the leaves blow right into my front door, which is why I have to keep it closed. Our front entryway is just always filled with nasty leaves. I can see evidence of that. And that's why we're saved by faith in something we don't see, but it's not that we don't believe it blindly. You believe that you have a brain. Why? Because you know other people have them. You've seen pictures of it through maybe an MRI, or maybe you've seen pictures in a textbook that shows what a brain looks like. There's evidence of it. That's why we have faith. So we're going to hopefully understand this about faith. And then I love, this is what the ancients were commended for. I'm going to do this really quick. I saw someone else do it, and I thought that was great. So I'm hoping that you will play along with me. I just thought it was a really great example. So now just pretend something for me. All right. If I asked you, is there a stool behind me, what would your answer be? I don't believe you. Well, I can't see it. Really, there's a stool behind me. Yeah. You're sure? I can't, 100%? I can't see it, though. But what I can do, and this is what I think the reason why we are in community and why the writer of Hebrews is about to go through this extremely long laundry list of people, is that we have this wonderful thing called the collective faith. We can trust because others have also trusted. So you mean, even though I am having a struggle in life, even though I can't see it, you can help me because you have experience, you have seen the stool. Yes, Joshua, you got a question?
I want to give another example. Black holes, for the longest time, we didn't know, we never saw them because they absorb light, but we saw how they...
Black holes are another thing. We're like, has anyone seen a black... I've never seen a black hole, but we know they exist because there's evidence of that. So let's see if we could do this thing... Oh, I'm not going to say that. That's bad. That's bad. Everyone in the back is like, what did she say? You'll have to come ask her privately so that, yeah. Okay, so help me out. So can you help give me faith as a collective group to trust that there's a stool behind me? Okay. Now turn around. Yeah, no.
Move to your right. One step back. One more.
And your hamstring touches it.
All right, sit.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I don't have enough faith, but I'm trusting that you don't do that in real life. Like, what? You don't have faith here? I'll help you. Ah, that's faith. I had faith that there was a stool behind me, even though I could not see it, and I trusted in the community around me that would help me when I struggle. Who here has struggled with their faith? If you're not raising your hand, I don't think you have real faith then, because everyone, I truly believe this, everyone struggles with their faith in one way or another. There's going to be a time in your life when you're like, I just don't know. And I'm struggling. And that's when we turn to the people around us and we go back and we understand. So let's see how these Old Testament people did. So first of all, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Out of nothing, that God created what we would say ex nihilo, out of nothing. So, like, what was here before God invented it and created? Nothing. He took nothing and made something, which is incredible to think about. And we have faith that God created everything. Was anyone here at the time of creation, other than Robert? no one was here. Do we have evidence that it was made by God? Yet there is evidence all around us. Now, again, I know this is where it becomes difficult because sometimes we say, but there are competing viewpoints on this. Well, that's, again, where we have to say, what do we trust in? Where do we go to? How can we understand this better? And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, I believe God created everything. Now, if you want to get into a discussion with me about is a day, I'd be happy to do that. And I'm one of those weirdos that does believe that God created everything in 6 days. And they're like, how is that possible? And I'm thinking, how come it took him so long? Like, 6 days? Could he have done it in 6 milliseconds? Oh, my gosh, yes. So, God, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. So what did, God hated Cain's offering and loved Abel's offering. And some people are quick to point out, and I am one of them, that Cain's offering was vegetables. Abel's offering was meat. Coincidence? Has nothing to do with that. Why did Cain offer vegetables? Was God pleased because of the actual offering? No. He's pleased when you make an offering to him from faith. Has nothing to do with that. Remember, Jesus proved that, right? A little old lady who had nothing to her name except for 2 small coins that were worth essentially nothing, and she walked in and donated it to the temple treasury. And what did Jesus say? This woman gave more than all those guys over there that are bringing sacks of money. Why? Because she had faith. It's not about what you give. It's about how you give it. Faith. Do I give in faith? Abel gave in faith, Cain did not. That's why God was displeased with Cain. Had nothing to do with the fact that it was vegetables, though I'm really glad he did it that way. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life. If you don't know anything about Enoch, he's kind of a cool dude. He was actually taken out of the world. He never died, which is kind of weird. Like, even Jesus died, but Enoch did not die. Yeah, Enoch is this really cool dude, and he gives a little bit more information for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. How did he please God? Was it because of all the good things he did? No. He pleased God because of faith, and that is important to remember, that if God is pleased with you, it's not because you do good things. You do good things because you have faith. God is pleased with your faith and pleased that your faith then results in these good works. And that's why he goes on to say, verse 6, this is important, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if you are trying to please God by coming to church, it won't work. If you are trying to please God by donating a lot of money to charitable causes, it won't work. If you are trying to please God by donating time and fixing things around a church, you're not going to be pleasing God. If you think you're going to please God by volunteering in the kids' ministry, we will be thankful, but God will not be pleased. There's only one reason why God is pleased with you and me. Because of our faith. That's it. Now, our faith does cause us to do all those other things, and we trust that when we do them out of faith, God is pleased with it. That's the reason why Jesus says, you could go up to a little child who is thirsty and give him a cup of water in my name, and I will be pleased. In faith. Faith can also be fear. Okay, yeah, and maybe I wouldn't call it fear, but I would actually call it what they call it with Thomas, doubt. Now, I know we have a hard problem with doubt, and I get it too. James was one of those that said, you know, when you believe and you act, don't doubt, or else, you know, you're going to be blown along. And I think what he's talking about is not doubt in individual circumstances, but overall doubt. Because I tell you, I think I've said that I like Thomas. You know why I like Thomas? Because he's like, show me the proof. There were the disciples, guy, Thomas, we saw Jesus. I don't believe you. No, we touched his hands. They had holes. Well, I've got to do it. He has this inquisitiveness about him, and he wants to know and do more. And that's where I think then we have to have the confidence, the faith that overcomes our trepidation to act. Oh, let me tell you something. It is hard to trust God, right? It's sometimes very hard to have faith because we're stepping into the unknown. But we do it. Why? Because God has declared it, and we have faith, and we can trust in the promise keeper, and we can also reason it. We're going to hit those exact things. Yes. All right, and then verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Again, what a weird thing. Build an ark. Why? I'm going to flood the place. Looks pretty dry to me. And I'm going to build it right here. What if, like, can I maybe go to the ocean? Like, maybe go to a sea and maybe we can build? No, right where you're at. Build it. And Noah had faith. Did he understand what was going to happen? No. He just did it. Why? Because he trusted God. He had faith. I'm going to make this point really clear because I know some of you are saying, I have struggles, I have to shrink, and I have sins. Who here thinks, as we read through these, that you're starting to shrink a little bit, like, man, Abel's awesome, Enoch's awesome, Noah. Then we're going to get Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Like, these are the top dogs. No, they're all idiots. Can anyone tell me what Noah did? He got drunk. Yeah. Wait, Noah? Yeah, Noah got drunk. How about Abraham? What did he do? He pretended that his wife was his sister so that he wouldn't get in trouble by the guys looking at her and so that they wouldn't come and kill him to take her. Oh, that's really good. What was it? He's a liar. Yeah, Abraham's a liar. How about Jacob? Yeah. No, that's not you. But yes, Jacob is also a liar. Well, I guess that's also you too. But yes, Jacob's a liar. You go through the list of these people. I mean, we're going to hit Joseph. Joseph is about the cleanest, but Joseph had an arrogance problem. Look at my coat. It's pretty. Oh, do you not have a coat? You know what? Actually, I had a dream about you. You're going to bow down to me. And I love it because people are like, nothing, no one, there's nothing bad about Joseph. Are you kidding me? I mean, it is exactly like sibling rivalry. I'm better than you. Yes, I had a dream you will bow down. Now, yeah, was it true? Sure, but you can speak truth in a different. So as we go through these people, don't be sitting there saying, I'm out. No, you're in. If you have faith, you're in. All right. So Noah was warned about the only by faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Doesn't that happen a lot? Do you ever know where you're going to live next year? You may think you know, but you may not. You may be moved somewhere else. And it's tough to follow God when he leads. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then he goes on to talk more about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become an heir because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So did you get that? Hey, God comes to Abraham, Sarah, you're going to have kids. I'm 100 years old. Things kind of don't work very well in that area. And Sarah's like, yeah. Who here would love to be 90 and pregnant? Like, I'm like, I'm out. Yeah, that's a no-go for me. Yeah, it's a scary thought. But God says, you're going to have a baby. Now, why did Abraham trust in God? Why did Abraham have faith? Because he went back and he considered, he thought, well, what happened in the past? He reasoned. He didn't just go, oh, yeah, totally believe you got church, no problem. Now, hey, that's great if you can do that. But I'm going to be honest, I don't know how many can. I think we get to there. After you end up trusting God a lot through your life, I think you can finally get to a point where you say, yeah, I'm just going to believe. Why? Because it's happened so many times in the past, it's going to be happening again here too. But again, Abraham tried to pawn off his wife as a sister. Yeah, great job, Abraham. Verse 12, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. And of course, some were like, but what about Enoch? Okay, take Enoch out of that. He didn't die, but he's just making a point. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, just like you. You're going to receive something that you have not seen. The promise of the resurrection of the dead. Anyone here seen Jesus rise from the dead other than Robert? No. But we trust in it. Why? Because we have hope. They looked forward to a promised inheritance. We look backwards. That's the way it works. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. He goes off this. He's a good pastor. He goes off on a little bit of a rabbit hole. So it's okay. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And that's what God is doing for you. You are, if you have faith, you're going to heaven. Well, what is it going to be like? I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I really have a hard time with the whole Abraham and Isaac sacrifice. Like, I'm sorry, if you come to me right now and say, I think God has spoken to me and he's asking me to sacrifice my child. I'll be like, I know your child is a horrible teenager and I get it, but no, you cannot kill them. I'm sorry, God is not asking you to kill them. But that's what happens with Abraham. And why did God do this? Because he was showing Abraham that there are more important things even than family. He's also showing, especially for all of us, that, and he's giving us a picture of on that exact same mountain. It would be really cool if it was the exact same locale that another one and only son was going to be killed and sacrificed. And that one, God went through with it, and he watched as his son died. But with Abraham and Isaac, yeah, you got to imagine how horrible that must have been. Hey, Abraham, you're going to have a kid, but I'm 100 years old. Yeah, but that's okay. You're going to have a kid, everyone's going to be blessed, and there's going to be multitudes of people that come from it. Really? So Abraham acts in faith and goes and sleeps with his handmaiden, Hagar. No, Abraham's an idiot, just like all of us, and does something really dumb. And God's like, no, no, no. I told you how this was going to work. This is how it's going to work. And so out comes Isaac, and they're like, this is great. And then God says, kill him. What? I thought you just gave, like, what? Yeah. And again, Isaac must have been a cool dude, because people think, like, Isaac was, like, 8 years old. No, Isaac was probably more like 17, 18 years old when this happened. I mean, could you imagine? Hey, Joshua, we're going to take a trip. Hey, carry this wood for me. And you get up there like, what are we sacrificing? I'm like, we're going to sacrifice you. And it says that Abraham bound Isaac. Now, Joshua, could I bind you if you are like, no? This is where Isaac has amazing faith. What is Isaac doing? He's submitting. Like, it just blows your mind. It's crazy. Now, why did he do that? Verse 19, Abraham reasoned. He said, God, you've got a problem. You promised that all the descendants were going to come through Isaac, and now you want him dead. That's a problem you're going to have, God. And I'm really grateful. Now, I don't know how the writer of Hebrews knows this, if this was just divine stuff or if this was something that was passed down. But it said Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did raise Isaac back from the dead. So Abraham was like, you know what? If you want him dead, well, you're going to have to bring him back to life. Talk about faith. That's faith. Why? Because he trusts. He reasoned. He said, I've seen how God does things. And I know that God made a promise, and so that promise is sure and secure. So I'm going to have to just have faith that he's your problem, God, not mine. This helps when you have teenagers who are rotten. Not that ours are rotten. Ours are awesome and amazing. They're a little bit rotten. But we trust, what? That God is going to do something. Why? Because saw me through, saw us through crazy times and accidents. God saw me through being a horrible teenager. And you know what? It's God's problem, not mine. Now, I'm supposed to be there and be a good parent and all that stuff, but this is God's issue. And sometimes you have to reason that. And Isaac, you know, the action, I love the action for Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to the future. Isaac did a whole lot more than that. This is what you're going to choose? Oh, my gosh. Oh. And then, of course, you've got Jacob. Like, how often did Jacob have faith? All over the place. Now, did Jacob have problems? Yeah, he was kind of a weasel, and he was kind of sly, and he did things poorly. But let me tell you, he had faith. He wrestled with God. It was crazy. And it is funny because I think he actually hints at this. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each one of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of the staff. Why is it talking about leaning on top of the staff? Because he wrestled with God. And let me tell you, I'm sure everywhere he walked, he was constantly reminded, is there a God? Oh, yes, indeed. And I've got the scars to prove it. And as he's leaning on top of his staff, he's blessing. By faith, Joseph. Now, again, Joseph did a lot of great things. He interpreted dreams. He got away from Potiphar's wife. He avoided sexual confrontation. He did a lot of great stuff. But when his end was near, spoke about the exit of the future. He had faith that Egypt was not the ending spot for the Israelite nation. Well, how did he know? He trusted because God said it. And he trusted in that. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. I don't know how they knew that. Like, did he have a halo or something like that? Or, you know, he walked when he was 3 months old. I'm not too sure how they knew that. But they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses could have grown up as a spoiled, rotten person. He had there was Pharaoh's daughter that raised him. He had all of the pleasures of the king, but he said, I reject all of this stuff for worldly stuff because my identity is more important. As we sang, who am I? I am who God says I am. It's not what the world says. The world could look at you and say, you're fat and ugly. The world could look at you and say, you are unskilled. The world could look at you and say, you are too gangly and too weird looking. The world could look at you and say, you are just too pretty and you need to be knocked down a little bit. The world can look at you and say all sorts of things, but guess what? What does it matter what the world says? Because you know what really matters? What does God say? Who are you? Reject all that other stuff. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was... By the way, that's why the whole... When Moses goes to Pharaoh and, you know, says, let my people... Talk about an awkward meeting. Yeah? Because it was the Pharaoh's daughter. So this is Grandpa. Hey, Grandpa! Let my people go. And I'm sure Grandpa's like, you are my people. No, the Israelites. I will not, you rotten little thing, you. Again, it really heightens the whole sense of the whole thing. All right. And then, verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Again, putting blood on the doorpost, how is that going to save you? Well, it's not the fact that it was blood on the doorpost. It was the act of submission. It was the act of trusting that what God said is actually true. And now you could have said, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. Putting blood on the doorpost, that will save you. But if you don't put it on then, if there's not that action that accompanies it, if you could have sat there and really tried to convince me to keep backing up until I sat down, but if I don't actually sit, it's useless. Your faith works. It does things. Bread's super important. Verse 29, by faith, the people passed. The walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Again, talk about a faith activity. March around this for seven days, and on the seventh day, march around it 7 times, and then blow your trumpets, so the walls will come down. God, I think a battering ram might work better in this situation. And God's like, trust me. And I bet what they did was they reasoned. I mean, has he been with us so far? Have we seen Israelites perfect? No, they're stupid, just like you and me. They made tons of mistakes. As someone had mentioned to me, they're like, I don't understand how we go from Joshua to Judges and it goes so badly. Joshua, they take over the land, this is great, and then in Judges, and everyone sinned and did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Like, how is that possible? I go, I know, isn't that crazy? And aren't we the same way? Who here sins? Why do you sin? Have you not seen the power of God? And then I can lecture you for a while, but the problem is I'd just be lecturing myself. Why don't I trust more? Why don't I have more faith? Why don't I live my life perfectly? Because it's a reminder that I rely solely and completely on God alone. Verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, yay, prostitute made it in the list. We're like, finally, someone who's evil. No, everyone else was bad too. Rahab is just, and it's tough. I'm sure we're going to get to heaven. We're like, hey, you're the prostitute Rahab. And she's like, my name's just Rahab, follower of Yahweh. Okay, don't keep calling me the prostitute Rahab. Could you imagine that for eternity? Like, Rahab, thank you very much. And then I love it. And what more shall I say? And everyone's like, no, please stop the sermon. I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, President Obama. Yeah, Brock. Yeah, good old Brock. Samson. And I'm listening to this list like, these people are dumb. Samson. The guy that doesn't know how to deal with women? Like, he's a sucker for a good face? Gideon? The guy who doesn't really trust in God but went ahead and took a chance and defeated an entire army with 300 guys and some broken glass and some candles? Barak, who trusted in a female to tell him what to do? Samson, who at the end still was, God, give me one more to bring glory to myself. Oh my gosh, you narcissist. I love it. Yeah. And then, of course, Jephthah. Man, dude, why? Oh, wait, did it? Yeah. Jephthah. Do y'all remember Jephthah? Who's Jephthah? Yeah, he was the one that he was like, hey, God, give me victory in this. And when I get back to the house, I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house. Like, why that? Just say you're going to sacrifice a cow, dude. Just like, it's real. Why the first? And I'm, again, I think that maybe Jephthah's mother-in-law lived there. And he was like, I'm really hoping that. and then, of course, his daughter comes out. And she's like, ah. And you know what Jephthah's daughter says? Well, you made a vow. Like, who has faith there? Like, why not say Jephthah's daughter, not Jephthah? He's an idiot. But Jephthah still had faith and trusted in God. And even though he's an idiot, he's still saved. That's why we all have hope. Don't discount yourself. This is the worst list known to mankind. David. How did David do? Oh, please, man. We cannot go through all of David's sin. David, yeah, we don't have all day. Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, thank you, Daniel, quenched the fury of the flames, thank you, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and escaped foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. What a wonderful thing. And you might be thinking, oh, so when I have faith, everything's going to be great. That's possible. You might be able to rout armies. People might come back from the dead. You might be able to shut the mouths of the lions. You might be able to survive the fiery furnace. That is a possibility. But there's even a greater possibility. What is that possibility? I'm so excited. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better right into prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Ooh, who was sawed in two? You won't find it in the Bible, but it's a story. What was that? It was not Bartholomew. Old Testament prophet had the biggest book that was written in the Old Testament, Isaiah. Yeah, he was hiding in a tree, and the people found him in the tree, and he was trapped. So what did they do? They just sawed it in half. Isn't that great? This is what's waiting for you. Wow, I don't like this. I don't like this, sir. Can we? What? Yeah, he had climbed into like the hollow of a tree, and he was in the tree, and he's like, they're not going to find me here. And they're like, Ollie, Ollie, and Gumfrey, Isaiah, Marco, you know, and they found him, and then they cut the tree in half with him in it. I would think at that point, like, I'm going to go ahead and jump out and just, I mean, I'd rather die that way. Yeah. I don't understand. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. So you know what? Your faith might help you to rout kings and shut the mouths of lions and conquer kingdoms, or it might get you killed. So your faith can bring about some really good things, but it can also bring about some really bad things. Is the things afterward important? No. Because at the end of the day, you could have everything in this world and then lose heaven. And that would not be a good trade. Or you could be sawed in half and receive the kingdom of heaven because you had faith. So don't worry about whether you're going to be super rich or super poor. Super powerful or super weak, super popular or absolutely unknown. The end result is unimportant. It's do you have faith? That's the most important thing. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. None of them saw Jesus. But God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. They trusted and they believed in a Messiah. They trusted and believed in God. They were Yahweh followers, and they had faith. No one is asking you to believe blindly. Truth never minds an investigation, right? You have doubt. Christianity, I encourage you to ask questions. You will never, ever be shunned for that. I remember when I was giving a membership class at a church, and I remember as I was, I can never remember if I've told these stories, and as I was giving this, we were like, oh no, what about this, and what about this? I'm like, oh, that's good. Well, what about this and this? And we were getting into this thing, and it was really, really cool. And then I looked in the back corner, and there were these two people just sitting like this the whole time. And so afterwards, I went up to them. I'm like, hey, you know, is everything okay, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, we were told as Catholics you don't question the priest. And I'm like, guess what? I'm not Catholic, and I'm wrong a lot, and question it all you want. Question your faith. Question it. Doubt it. And then struggle with it. Wrestle with it. Don't, yeah, break it in. And then it. Like, don't just be like, oh, what a shiny, wonderful sword I have. No. Your sword should be bloodied with all of the examples that you try to live your life. You should be out there using it. Don't come to God and say, God, I kept your faith pristine and perfect. He wants to see a well-used, well-worn, crazy life lived for him, trusting in him, made with lots of mistakes, but always. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these people who are incredible people of faith. Wow. But who are also incredible idiots. And for that, I'm thankful. Because I know I'm an idiot, and I do a lot of dumb things in my life, and when I do a lot of those dumb things, I sometimes wonder, oh my gosh, are you really going to forgive me? And then I remember how you love all these people, that I am going to be listed in this hall of faith because I have faith. And I'm thankful that it's not something that, again, that I can just conjure up, that I can just grunt really hard and faith will appear, that it's something that you give, and when you give, it's certain and it's sure, and you have given us that faith. Some of us, Lord, are hesitant to use our faith. We're wondering, what does it mean to actually love our neighbor as ourselves? Some of us are wondering, what does it mean to give and trust our finances to you? Some of us are struggling with what it means to have our relationship put in your hands and trust. Some of us are worried that how are we going to ever trust anyone else in this world because we've been hurt so many times. And yet you have laid it out over and over again. Keep that we can reason, that we can think, that we can see that you are the great promise keeper, but it's not okay for us to just sit on the sidelines and do nothing. That our faith, because you have said that it is true. Thank you for the faith that you have given to us. Because, amen.